Okay, on to Singapore.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
You know how we frequently say solo travel awaits you? Well, this week on Solo Travel Talk, your solo travel podcast, Singapore and Bangkok await you. Hello, everyone. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. We continue with our mini-series about destinations that we want to get you dreaming about. This week on the show, Astrid will take you to Singapore and Bangkok. And using our fun little 1 to 10 rating system, she gives some of the fun factor, the cost, and the safety. You are sure to get some great ideas about travel to these two destinations on this show. And like Astrid said, up first is Singapore.
Now, Singapore, oh my gosh. Safety, a 10. Cost, 9. Fun, 9. I mean, Singapore is ultra safe. It might actually, to me, be the safest city in the world. They have so many laws. It's highly policed. There are a lot of undercover police. Everybody knows what the laws are. And they know if they do anything, somebody's going to see them. And they're going to get fined right there, and they're going to have to pay. If they don't pay, they'll have to go and get somebody to help them get the money, or then they'll be incarcerated. If they don't have the money, they have to do work weeks or street cleaning. And I mean, Singapore is definitely, you do not break the law there. So it's ultra safe. And then wonderful as far as a walking city. You can walk everywhere in Singapore, and I had never felt any kind of threat or anything like that. They have great mass transit. I mean, you can't do anything wrong on mass transit. Like I said, they have undercover policemen all over. Cab drivers, absolutely, I think the friendliest cab drivers I've ever seen.
And that's your standard.
That is one of my things. I mean, you know, if the cab drivers are sketchy and the cabs are dirty, oh. Okay, cost, very expensive. This is, this is kind of like a brand new city, too. You know, it's not as young as Abu Dhabi, but it is expensive. You can find inexpensive food. They have lots of what's called hawker stalls, and I'll go into that. You've got Chinatown, Little India. But the nice restaurants, are they expensive. There was one dish called the chili crab that everybody raves about, and it is a Singapore specialty. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get one. So I went into this restaurant right along Marina Bay, which was supposed to be the best one. So I went in there, and I said, well, I like a chili crab. And the gentleman said, well, you know, they're real big. Do you think you could eat it all? I said, I just want to taste it. Yeah, that'll be good. And I don't think this restaurant had prices on the menu. So whenever you go to those kind of restaurants, you know, oh, boy.
If you have to ask, maybe you can't afford it.
Well, let me tell you something. I almost threw up when I saw the bill. This crab, one crab, was $125. And let me tell you something. I didn't eat hardly any of it because it tasted terrible.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, a lot of people like it. So if you want to try it, I'm not saying don't. But, it's very expensive. And all of the nice restaurants, they really are expensive in Singapore. I mean, Singapore is a financial center, an Eastern and Western center of finance. And I can tell you, it's very hard to have anything affordable there. It's extremely expensive to have a car there. Mm. I think it costs something like $125,000 to have a permit to buy a car. Yes. You can't just go and buy a car because they only regulate how many cars that are allowed in Singapore. Oh, let me tell you, when I tell you there, you don't break the law there, and there are a lot of laws there, and this is why it's so safe and such a fabulous city, because it's so highly regulated. Then there never are any traffic jams, because they only allow a certain amount of cars on the street at high peak times. And if you want to drive in these peak times, they have these cameras that get your license plate. And if you drive during these times, you have to pay another a tariff on top of that. It could be $20 a day or something like that. So people, they take the mass transit or they walk, and they're cabs. They're cabs. But they're not a whole lot like New York City or anything like that. But it's expensive. That's what I'm trying to say. Everything is expensive, but you can find cheaper food and cheaper things to buy. Well, I'll talk about that. Accommodations are basically similar to New York prices. I mean, you can get a West End that's a pretty good price, but it's not going to be cheap. You know, in terms of entertainment prices, same thing as the West. So it's kind of like being in New York City. So it is expensive there. Fun? Lots of fun. There's so many things to do and see in Singapore. I mean, number one, it's multicultural, but it's a modern city. So it's so interesting. You've got Chinatown and everything that goes on there, you know, the ethnic architecture, but then the newness, you know, it's not like an old Chinatown feel. It has the feel of Chinatown, but people are hustling and it's different, but still very fun, and you can find some cheap things there. Then Little India, the same, very ethnic. It's a little bit more ethnic, I think, than even Chinatown. That, you know, shops, temples, restaurants, lots of fun to go there. You probably want to spend a whole day there, too. Then you've got an Arab district, and they have, you know, all kinds of Arab things that you can buy, and the food, and there's you know, museums, and there's a lot to do even in that area. So the museums, I'm going to give you a couple of museums when we get to the things to know. They've got all kinds of interesting museums that will kind of make you understand how Singapore came about and why this city is just a utopia. It really is. It's a fabulous place. But I think basically, you know, it has an energized, modern feel that's a blend of Eastern and Western cultures that are easily blended together. You don't feel tension there. It's amazing. And I consider it just a happy city. That was my opinion. Everybody seemed to be happy. You know, it's expensive for people to live in, but they just seemed to be happy. People were well-dressed. They were clean. The city is spotlessly clean because if you throw something on the ground, of those undercover policemen are going to see you. You know, and there's no public display of vulgarity or, you know, intimacy or anything like that. The laws, that's one thing I did. Well, I'm going to get to that now. Well, I'm right here now. So it's a lot of fun. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's a happy city. It's a great place to go. But no, it's expensive. So you're going to have to budget when you go to Singapore because you can blow money fast. I mean, it is not cheap. Things to know. First of all the many laws. And like I said, strictly enforced. You can't chew gum. If they get caught chewing gum, you're fined like $150 if they see you chewing gum. Jeez. And they demand it right there. If you don't have the cash, they'll try to help you find an ATM. If they don't, they'll haul you off. I mean, you don't get anywhere until you pay it. And supposedly in cash. They like it in cash. So, no littering. No eating on the subway. You can't bring what's called durian fruit because it stinks on the subway. No smoking. Oh, my God. Inside or outside, anywhere, except they have certain little areas. And there's these little stamps on the street. You'll see, you know, on sidewalks where people can smoke. But there are not very many of them. And you'll get fined bad. They even have a law against if you don't flush the toilet. Oh, my God. And they have attendants in these places. If they see you, they will fine you. I'm telling you. This is a gorgeous, modern, very clean city. And so it's a delight to go to. So know that before you go. You have to obey the laws, but let me tell you something. You're going to like this place. Now, on top of that, it's a very green city. They're really into, you know, energy management and solar, as well as gardening. Mm-hmm. Oh, plants everywhere, on top of buildings, hanging off of buildings. You know, they have so many green spaces in the city itself. They have the one of only two UNESCO botanical gardens in the city. This is a must-do to spend the day at the botanical gardens. This place is out of this world. I think there are about 10 to 12 different theme-based types of gardens, from lakes to the most fabulous orchid garden in the world. It's a science-based study place too, where they do all kinds of hybrid creations of orchids. But this, you'll see the most exotic orchids that are on this planet. Wow. There, it is gorgeous. This place is unbelievable. So you have to go there. But this is a green city with lush tropical flowers blooming everywhere. It is not just like in certain high-end areas. It's everywhere. So, I mean, it's amazing what flora and fauna and greenery will do to a city, especially a modern city. So it's wonderful to go to. It, like I said, it's very well planned, very well maintained, and very clean. They've got a lot of focus on public art, especially in the financial areas, in certain areas of downtown. So you're walking and you'll see these magnificent sculptures of public art with different themes and focuses by very prominent artists that just really make this such a sophisticated place. And this is in the Far East. You know, it's really kind of Near East, but it's going towards the Far East. But it's really a wonderful blend of Western and Eastern in a modern way that still has respect for those older cultural traditions. So it's beautiful. Chinatown, great. You've got the Buddha Tooth Relic Temple, which there's a little piece of a tooth that's supposed to be part of Buddha's tooth. And it's also a museum, but it's a gorgeous temple. So you must go to that temple. If you like to go to temples, that is a beautiful temple. Little India is here again. I mean, it is like being in India. The smells, the food, the people that are working there and shopping there and everything. Besides, you'll see the tourists, but there's not a whole lot of tourists. I was shocked. I don't know why, but there wasn't a whole lot of tourists there. They have a couple of really, what I call real Indian temples. I mean, they have all that incense burning and the chanting or the singing and all of the different gods and goddesses that are very different looking to a Westerner, but they are alive and practicing in there. If you are interested in that, it's pretty high quality, so that's great. The Haji Lane in the Muslim area, super shopping, good restaurants, fun day to go there, or half a day at least. Then if you want to go and just go really low end, cheap shopping for things like t-shirts and shoes and makeup and everything. And it's not so much the quality is bad, but when I say it is cheap, go to Burgas Street Market, Bugis. This, you will find everything. I mean, and especially in clothes. What had happened to me is when I got to Singapore, it was so hot and humid. Be prepared for that. Extremely humid. This is a tropical feel to the weather in this city. But I was sweating like unbelievable. So I asked the concierge, I said, look, I just need to buy a couple of cheap pairs of pants and some cheap tops that, you know, I can wear in this kind of weather. He said, just go to Burgess Market. I mean, I bought so much for under $100. I could have filled up a small suitcase. I mean, I'm not kidding you. When you go, you can buy shirts for $3, and they're not horrible. They're not to where you wouldn't wear them. So it's a very fun place if you want to go for that kind of low-end shopping. And when you're there, it doesn't matter. I mean, you buy elephant pants for $5.
Just fun stuff.
Yeah, fun stuff that, you know, even if you wear it one time, you could care less. But at least you're cool. Whew. I mean, it was so, so humid there. And I'm from Louisiana.
I was going to say, yeah.
Then we have Orchard Street, which high-end. Louis Vuitton, the whole thing, great malls. You know, like I said, Singapore is a financial center, and they have a lot of very wealthy people there. The real estate is extremely expensive, $1,000 a square foot, or what the real estate costs, the condominium's new cost. I mean, that is really expensive, y'all. So, you know, Orchard Street, very high-end. Then they have what's called hawker centers. These are like food centers where you go in and their food there are so good because they're all these little individual vendors that are cooking their specialty. Make sure you visit a hawker center too. The food there is fabulous and get some chicken and rice. Now, when I first heard that was one of their specialties, I thought, oh, that sounds boring. I'm from Louisiana. I like it spicy. Chicken and rice, oh, there's something about it. It's delicious. I had chicken and rice 3 times there. I was thinking about chicken and rice every day. Should I eat chicken and rice again? Delicious. Then there's a place called Gardens by the Bay. Now, this is a really interesting place. It's got a couple of floral areas, etc. But what they're known for is their super trees. And these are, I think they're 12 or 13 gigantic iron trees that are, you know, kind of, well, they're modern looking. And they have a lot of little lights on them. So at night, they do a light show with these trees and music. It is beautiful. I mean, when I first went, I thought, oh, this is going to be kind of Disneyland. I don't know how good this will be. Oh, I didn't want it to end. It's about a 20, 30-minute show, but do that. It is spectacular, and the sound system is out of this world. And what they do with those trees and everything, the different lights and the types of light, it's really special. I mean, it is something else. So, Gardens by the Bay, and also a lot of people will rent bikes and ride all through the gardens, etc. You've got the Marina Bay area. That's kind of one of the central places in Singapore. They have the bay, and it goes into the Singapore River. Activity day or night around there. I mean, it is a great place to be. You've got, you know, lots of entertainment areas, whether the outside or inside. You know, at nighttime, they've got all kinds of karaoke bars, if you like that. And here again, like I said, Singapore is a safe city. So for a solo traveler, especially a woman, you can do these kinds of things. You're going to be all right. Now, you know, you don't want to drink too much or maybe dress too provocatively or, you know, do something that would draw attention to you in the wrong way. But, you know, there's a lot of people from a lot of different places in the world. And because Singapore is expensive, you typically get, you know, a crowd that is not looking for trouble. So, and this is a great area. I mean, lots to do. They have light shows at night too. And they've got some fantastic buildings. They have this science museum that looks like a lotus bloom. And they shoot lights on, like, the Singapore Flyer and everything. It's just a fabulous nighttime show. So you have to do that. If you want to see some museums, they have museums around there. You've got the Singapore Flyer, which is this monster Ferris wheel lots of people like to do. Boutiques And then you have the Marina Sands Hotel, which is that fantastic building that looks like a ship that's ultra high, has this highest, biggest rooftop pool in the world, and the casino. And, you know, it is the casino, I think the only one in Singapore. So if you like to gamble, I mean, it's very high end. So then moving on, more things to do. Like I said, this is a fun place.
I can't believe it, yeah.
Museums. They have the Pernakan Museum. Now, you don't know what Pernakan is. It's a whole kind of culture that's Malaysian, but it's very interesting to go there. You have the Singapore Art Museum. Fabulous. I loved it. Then you have the Museum of Asian Culture. Also very interesting. And then the National Museum of Singapore, just basically how Singapore, its history and going through from the very beginning. You would think, well, maybe that's not too cool. It was so interesting. And every one of these museums had great shops and good cafes in them. So the museums are really good. So I'll just end with Singapore. I think this is basically a utopia or utopian city. It's so well planned in terms of urban design. It's so clean. It's so well managed. It's so green and beautiful and with flowers. I mean, it's really heaven on earth. If I had to pick anywhere to move in the world, it might be Singapore.
Wow.
Because it's safe. I mean, you'd have to have oodles of money. But it's very, very, it's got a lot of sophistication there. And I really did like it, to my surprise. I thought it was going to be, just a little too corporate.
Mm.
And not a lot. But I loved it. I love Singapore. Okay, next city, Bangkok. In terms of safety, I rated a 6. Cost, a 5, and fun, an 8. I rated it 6 in terms of safety because Bangkok is what I consider a chaotic city with the feel of potential danger always there. There really is. I mean, I felt like I needed to be very cautious when walking around in Bangkok, even though it's a spread out, so you walk in particular areas, but you know there are lots of pockets of unsavory kind of neighborhoods and characters. So I manage the safety factor with taking daily tours, and I probably didn't do quite as much as I wanted to because I was concerned in terms of not putting myself into harm's way, as well as there's just terrible traffic there. I mean, you have to know that the traffic is unbelievable, and they drive wild, and, you know, that's dangerous in itself, to tell you the truth. I wasn't willing to take the mass transit systems for strictly the safety issue. And then you've got all of these little tuk-tuks going around, and these are these little three-wheel motorcycles with seats on the back with the little canopies, and they go wide out. I mean, you know, it is like a wild mouse ride when you get in one of these things. So, as a solo traveler, I had to practice, and if you visit Bangkok, a good safety habits. Because it's really kind of, I guess I characterize it, it's kind of like a city of sin. You just feel like that, you know, I mean, you see a lots of marginal, like, sex-oriented clubs and everything, and people dress kind of, or not something that I think, you know, I just think it's like provocative, okay? And then I suspect there was a lot of drugs around. So, you know, there's a sense of something could happen.
You were heightened to being more on guard.
Yes, totally opposite of Singapore. So, and then also, as far as having a glass or two of wine at night, only do it at a really nice place Or I did most of mine at my hotel, and I was at a great hotel there. But I would be very scared as a single traveler, female. You don't know who's going to put something in your drink or whatever. Oh, it yeah, it's. But with all that said, don't not go to Bangkok, because it is an exotic city that's very interesting. And I really had a whole lot of fun there. So, you know, I gave it a low safety score because you have to be careful. But it is, I mean, I'm going to go back to Bangkok. I loved it. Next, affordability. As far as cost, very affordable. I mean, everything. The hotels, the food, the tours, the shopping, museum entrance fees, everything. Extremely affordable. Bangkok, you get a lot for your money. So that makes it a lot of fun. I mean, you can paint the town red, you know, in terms of doing things on a very high level, and you're going to be shocked at how affordable it was. So that's a good thing. Then the fun. I mean, the exoticness of this city makes the visit here. The architecture is spectacular. They're beautiful places to visit and explore. The shopping is unbelievably fun in terms of what you can, you know, what's available and at the price. The food is delectable and very different. You know, they like a lot of coconut. So there's coconut in all kinds of dishes, whether it's appetizers, main dish, in, you know, the side dishes, etc., in the desserts, the coconut ice cream. If you go to Bangkok, have coconut ice cream. It is a must-do on your list. Then even the city's called the Big Mango because they use a lot of mango, too, in their foods. And I love mango. So what I'm sharing is the food is fantastic here. They do all kinds of different things with sweet and sour flavors and different types of things. Oh, also the banana pancakes. Oh, my God. Those are fantastic, too. They have a lot of hawker stalls here, just like in Singapore, where they're big food courts, especially in their Chinatown, and they've got all of these single vendors or two people doing these wonderful dishes. I mean, and it's very inexpensive. Then you've got the famed, and this is, you know, Bangkok is noted for rooftop bars. Now, I told you that I, as a solo traveler, I wouldn't be comfortable in going to one. Well, I chose a hotel that has had a fabulous rooftop bar. This hotel was the Sofitel So, which is a designer hotel by the French brand, the Accord brand. Sofitel is part of their brand. I mean, this hotel was so cool and sophisticated. Well, they had a rooftop bar with a DJ and outside at night. I mean, I went out there every night and had a glass of wine, looked over the bright lights and the city lights of Bangkok, and it was just so cool. And it was nice. I didn't feel threatened at all. I mean, you know, if you go to a nice place and you know you're going to be safe there, everything's A-okay. But they, you know, one of the fun things to do is to get up on top of the buildings at night, have a glass of wine, so you have to know where to do it. All right, then you've got plenty of palaces, gardens, temples, museums. They're all beautiful. I mean, they are so out of this world, you know. My first introduction into anything Near Eastern or whatever was The King and I, and based on The King of Siam, you know, and that whole love story. But to go to Siam, basically, because this is Siam, and see these buildings and how different they are, it's kind of like what you see in India and Asia, and it's just a blend of it all. And the women, when they do their traditional dancing with their hands and everything, it's really something to see and absorb. So, you know, I love Bangkok. I really did. But like I said, I was on guard at all times for the safety reasons. And that was the only thing that hampered, I'd say, my fun. Only reason. Okay, things to know and do. Don't criticize or defame the royal family. It is against the law. And you'll see photographs, big photographs on streets, I mean, all over the place. They just worship their royal family. So don't say, oh, what in the world? Don't say anything about the royal family. It is against the law. Second, not to miss, you've got to go to the Grand Palace and the gardens. This was the King of Siam, or the residence of the King of Siam. And it is just absolutely gorgeous. The mosaics, the murals, all the mirrors, whether it's on the stupas inside or out, the colors, they're so vibrant. And it's all blended together. And it's like exoticism on steroids. It's unbelievable what you see. And the energy. I never realized that. You know, I've been to pyramids and different things, you know, obelisk and everything, they say energy. But these stupas and with these mirrors and all of this stuff, I mean, whoa, boy, they were into their own brand of it. It was something to see. It really was. It was very, very different and exotic. I loved it. Then you've got the Chowphira River, and I hope I said that, Chowphira or Phira River. But this is the river that goes through the city. And a lot of the sites are located on there. They've got great water taxi services, I wasn't scared to go on those. And so, you know, that's wonderful. You can get from point A to point B. I also recommend, or I did, a dinner cruise on the Chowphira River. And it's beautiful at night. We had female Thai dancers and a very Thai, I think it was a 5-course dinner within music throughout, in this ethnic-looking boat. It was beautiful. I loved it. So do that. Then you've got the Wat Pho Temple with the humongous reclining Buddha. It's a tourist attraction, but it is a must-do because it's something to see and very hard to photograph. The Wat Arun Temple, gorgeous white porcelain designs cover much of the temple, beautiful gardens, and a big Buddha in there. You've got then the Temple of Golden Buddha, which is a gold Buddha. It's in Chinatown, and this is a spectacular temple. And they've got gorgeous hand-painted wallpaper in that temple. I mean, it was just exquisite, the shopping. They've got what's called the Chattachuca Weekend Market. This is a massive, when I tell you massive market, 8,000 vendors. You can buy anything in the world there is to buy, high-end or low-end. This is the most. Besides, well, there was a flea market in Beijing, China that was unbelievable in terms of size, but it had a lot of ethnic tribal things that were brought from all over China. But this Bangkok Chattachuca Weekend Market has goods, all types of goods. It is so, the antiques are mind-bogglingly beautiful. And all types of antiques, all types of coins, all types of expensive and cheap jewelry, antique jewelry, clothes. I mean, anything you want to buy, you know, linens, hats, everything that there is to buy, ceramics, is there. And they have shipping. So if you buy a whole house full of rattan furniture, or you just go flat crazy, all you have to do is talk to the shop owner. They take the number and everything, and they get hooked up with the FedEx that is right there in the market. It is fabulous. And let me tell you something, you can haggle and you can get some great bargains. So this is something else to go to. I think I bought like 3 pairs of shoes and they were real cheap, but they were really cute. So also food tour in Bangkok. I did one and it was mostly in Chinatown. Loved it though. It was very, very good and interesting. And you better be hungry because it was just stuffed. Then another thing that one of the highlights of my trip was the flower tour that I took. Now, flowers in Thailand culture, in the Thai culture, are very important. They give flowers for all kinds of, you know, highlights of people's lives and just tokens of just being nice on a daily basis. There are flowers everywhere. And these flowers are just not put in vases. They are sewn together and put together in these gorgeous designs. I mean, they do things with flowers that you have never seen. Some of them fragrant, some of them not. Well, I took this flower tour to learn more about flowers. And one of the things, well, we did the whole flower market and got to see a lot of that. But it ended at the Flower Heritage Center. And this was really one of the highlights of my whole around the world trip. Because the gentleman, whose name is Sakul Itakul, who is the owner of it, he is a world-renowned floral designer. He designs for, you know, high-end designer fashion shows. He does flowers for Thailand's royal family. I mean, he goes all over the world designing flower displays, arrangements, whatever. And he has this beautiful colonial mansion that he walks around in Thai pants without shoes on and his fan. And he has all of this gorgeous sculpture. He was an engineer originally in his education, but he's a genius. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going. He is an artistic genius, what he's done. And this is where he lives and works. And it's a museum, too. You have to go there. If you have any love of flowers, and now he has he serves tea there. It's just, I think you can actually stay there, too. He was going to convert one bedroom suite to be able to, because it's a little Shangri-La in Bangkok, and he's a genius. To be in his presence, that's another thing. Then you've got the Pratunak wholesale market. Now, this is so dirt cheap, it's ridiculous. I mean, I went there because it was hot and humid in Bangkok, too. So I thought, well, let me go to this. I might get a few more tops or whatever. Another place. I mean, I think I bought three elephant pants, different elephant pants. Three pairs, $10. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And they love elephants in Thailand. They worship elephants. I didn't realize that till I went there. The last thing I think I have on my list, well, not quite, but almost, is Jim Thompson's house. Now, he was an American architect that ended up going to Bangkok, and he built a beautiful Taiwanese styled home. He has got fabulous antiques in there. He redeveloped the silk manufacturing in Bangkok, and this was an area of silk production. So it's a beautiful place to visit, his home and the gardens. You'll see silk making. You'll also, it has a fabulous shop that you can buy anything, you know, drapes, linens, clothing, accessories, beautiful, beautiful things made from silk. So this is a must do when you go to Bangkok. Then Thai massage. Oh, if you like massages, the Thai massage is a must because they are the ones that walk on your back, get on your back. They, you know, pull your joints, they crack your joints. I mean, they not only, you know, massage your muscles, I mean, they just really get down. And I mean, oh boy, I didn't know how great the Thai massage was, but I highly recommend it. Then last is that tuk-tuk ride. Now, I almost didn't do this because they're so crazy. I mean, they just zip in and out. Some of them go on the sidewalks. I mean, it is just, they are like kamikazes in these rickety, you know, three-wheel motorcycle kind of things. But after the food tour, it was kind of late at night, and I didn't want to take a taxi, so I told my my tour guide, you know, would he accompany me back to the hotel? I would pay him, so, you know, I wouldn't be afraid. He said, sure, and we'll take a tuk-tuk ride. I said, you sure? He said, oh, no problem. So I got in a tuk-tuk with this guy. He was a very nice guy. I mean, let me tell you, that was, I thought, well, if I die in the tuk-tuk, because he was going like wide open on the interstate.
Wow.
Going to my hotel, and I didn't know we had to go on the interstate, but he was taking his own way. Oh, and they have trucks and everything. I mean, he's going, I thought, oh, but when I got back to the hotel, I thought, you know, you only live once. That was really fun. That was really fun. I mean, I would have never done it. But let me tell you, wow, that was some adrenaline. I mean, woo!
Who knew you were such an adrenaline junkie?
No, I didn't know, but
yeah,
I got
now you got the taste of it.
Okay.
I might myself run away right now and pack my own bags to Singapore and Bangkok. If I were to do that, you know what I would do? I would go get Astrid's helpful packing list. It's available on her website for download. Just go to astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage is a place that you can get the downloadable packing list. Even on this, on the post on her website where you can find this podcast episode, there's also a place there. Just scroll down, pop in your email, and you'll get the downloadable packing list right away. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can hear us on TuneIn and iHeartRadio and really find this podcast any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. If you like what you're hearing, we invite you to share this show with a friend. Also, you can give us a rating on any of those platforms. It really helps the show and it'll help other solo travelers find this amazing content. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you next week where we're going to have two more fun destinations next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.